Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're continuing in our study here in 1 Samuel. Let's see, where did we get to here? Oh, yes, we're talking about Saul's evil spirit and the torment. And sometimes an evil spirit can torment someone to repent. And sometimes if you depart from God, or he withdraws his covering from you, that leaves the door open for evil spirits to come in. I do believe they're there, and all around us there's a spiritual realm with alien beings, and that means they're only alien to Earth because they're not of the Earth. And yes, the aliens are demons, and when people have seances or channel, what they are really channeling is not the dead. They are channeling demons and perhaps familiar spirits or familial spirits. And of course, familiar refers to the word like family. There are family demons too. Familiar spirits that know the family or know the dead one that you're calling out or having a seance for. And everyone goes, well, it must be the dead one, because how could this person that's channeling it or whatever know that? Only that dead person knew that. But familiar spirits, they know things about families, because many spirits will be with a family generation after generation. And we do need to be aware of what's going on around us. The thoughts that are in our mind may not originate from us. They may originate from demons or familiar spirits, or they may be whispered to us by demons. So we have to judge every thought, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and judge those thoughts and rebuke them if they don't line up with the Word of God. We'll continue here. Saul's servants, of course, they're going to call for a man to play the harp to soothe the spirit and to give Saul a little relief from his torment. And Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Something to focus his mind upon. Then answered one of the servants, said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely, a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took the harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now the Philistines gathered together their armories to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah, in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, or Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So 6 cubit, what was a cubit? I think it was from the tip of the finger to the elbow. So, and depending how long that is on you, but it was the king's cubit. And Saul was a big man. So he was 6 cubits, so it gives you a good idea of how tall this man was. He was huge. That's it. He was head and shoulders above even Saul, if he was 6 of Saul's cubits. So, he was 6 cubits in a span, chapter 17, verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Huge man. I mean, you know, he had to weigh, what a small horse weighs, you know. I mean, this is a huge man. So 5,000 shekels of brass, wouldn't be much. You know, I could put that easily on a horse or a large pony or a small horse and it would be nothing. So that gives you an idea of how huge this man was. But for me, because I'm only 5'9" and 160 pounds, I'd be dragging a little bit if I was to carry a, so it gives you just an idea of how big this man was. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. You know, let's do this mano a mano. Why have an army? Let's just send out your best man, and we'll decide the battle right here. That's the challenge. You've seen this challenge in many movies. They put the captains to fight for the battle, one-on-one. And if he's able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. There's the challenge. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, I'm sure there wasn't a man as big. They were, again, looking on the outward appearance. And no one would go out against him. Well, I dare to say, I don't think I'd go out against him. Unless I had some special talent, as we shall see. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. The Philistine, and of course we're talking about the giant of a man, Goliath. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brothers fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep and with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host of it was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, for David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Has he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Well, and that meant no taxes, right? And another little insight into the government of Saul to lay the heavy burden, as promised. The people said they wanted a king like the other nations. Did they know what they were asking for? Well, they soon found out, because no one was free in Israel anymore. God had given Israel a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and the people were free. Their land was free. There was no land taxes. It belonged to them and their heirs forever. But no more. They were not free. But now here's the reward for the man that kills Goliath. He will make his father's house free in Israel. A little more insight into the law of God and the law of inheritance. His father's house. The father's house, that means the property of his family that was passed down from generation to generation. You and your heirs forever. His father's house free in Israel. Because that man would also become the head of his father's house, especially if he made that house free. Of course, it was to the firstborn or whoever the father chose. We see that the rule is for the firstborn, but that was not a hard and fast rule as to who was the inheritor or who became the head of the household. It's not like they practice inheritance here in America today, where they have community property, and when you inherit, of course, it goes into probate under most circumstances, and after the judge's friends get done with it, the lawyers, then they let the family part out, and they have to sell everything, of course. Of course, how did the lawyers get their part? If you don't sell everything, or at least sell a lawyer's portion. So if you got one piece of land, you have to sell it or split it up to pay the lawyer. But then while it's on the block, everybody looks at the money and it's all parted out, and the family is continually destroyed rather than having the family government that our God gave us. So we see here in action, and you need to look for these things, be sensitive to the law of God and how it operated and how it was broken, and see how it applies today. Can we implement God's government for family today? Yes, we can. We may need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves to do it. We may need to set up trusts, family trusts. We're still not going to escape the property tax if we buy property that is subject to tax, which it's hard to buy property that's not subject to tax. So you're not going to be free in your land, but you can start building an inheritance. And it's a good thing to do. If you can pass on land from generation to generation, you can spare your family a lot of taxes, because every time property is transferred, say if you, the taxes are raised because it sets a new valuation on the property. So if you have a property, say, that is valued at $10,000, and you were to sell it on the market today, it might be worth $150,000. So now instead of paying $100 a year at 1% in the state where I live, because of Prop 13 that froze taxes, the increase of taxes to they could only raise the value 1 or 2% a year. So your taxes being at $100 or $150 a year will now go up to $150 a month. So that's kind of like rent, isn't it? Or $200. Or would, depending on the value of the property. So you can at least protect your family in that way, and they can at least enjoy some benefit from the law of God being used and established even today. And so we need to learn these things and understand how God's law of inheritance work to start building strong families and stop practicing the community property laws of the world and the probate and the destruction of the family. We need to build strong families. And of course, we need to be obedient to God's commandment that says to be fruitful and multiplied, so we can seek a godly seed, as the scripture puts it. and build the kingdom of God by teaching our children and being good examples to them. We'll continue here. So, part of the reward, and make his father's house free in Israel. Like I said, a little insight into the saw, the king, like the other nations have, now binding all of the households of Israel with taxation on their land and their households. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might seest the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And of course, David came down at the commandment of his father, his brothers bringing a false accusation against him in his face. And he's inquiring of the battle, "Why is no one killing this man?" And he says, "Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner, telling him what the reward would be for the man who killed this giant. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Yeah, wow, huh? He's the shortest. He's of all of the sons of Jesse. And he's really, well, just a boy. You know, he's a teenager, basically, is what he is. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there come a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Wow, could you imagine that? That's quite a testimony. "And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And here we have a little insight into the character of David. He relied on his God to do his job. I mean, to take care of sheep. He relied on him in every area of life. So much so that God called him a man after my own heart. A man after his own heart. Here's this boy out tending sheep. And we have this demonstration of his reliance. And oh yes, you better believe that David was practiced, well practiced, in the art of slaying the lion and the bear. It just didn't happen by accident. He was well practiced with that sling, and that gave him the confidence that he needed. But he knew that it wasn't just confidence in his own ability that would get him through, because there is a God in heaven who oversees everything. And he knew that just as well he could have been taken by the bear or the lion. Just as well, because it could be just as easy to miss. So he relied on the Lord to use the talent he had developed in learning the art of using a sling to slay the lion and the bear, that the Lord would deliver them into his hand. And he said that this uncircumcised Philistine will be like that lion and that bear. And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And here, a little more insight into this man. He has not proved them. I have not trained with this equipment. I can't go with equipment that I haven't trained with. He was going to go with that sling because he trained with it. And that's what he means by proved. So a little more insight into that. David did not go in there willy-nilly, not armed, without any practice, without any training. He was well trained when he went in. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. We'll pick up here when we get back from the break.